Thank you very much. I was waiting because after lunch maybe someone is lost in the park, so near or sleeping. So I think you are ready to sleep during this lecture. You take the coffee before I hope. So this presentation, first of all, is about anti-phishing security, and we will not treat so much technical details because this is more an overview of the problem from a management point of view. Who am I? I am an engineer, and I take my degree from Politecnico of Milan in 2004 and 2006. Now I work in Ambrosetti, which is a management consulting firm. Previously, I worked in Accenture. So, as I said, this presentation is about anti-phishing. With this kind of microphone, I look like Michael Jackson, I suppose, but I don't want to dance. So, does it work? Yeah. So, in this slide, just we can see the nature of phishing. These figures are taken from the anti-phishing working group that maybe you know. And here we can see on the left that the number of unique reports in January 2008 are 30,000, more or less. The number of unique sites are 20,000. And for example, the number of brands hijacked by phishers are like 130. I can say you that during the last months or maybe years now, these figures are not so different. Maybe what changed is the average time online for site that is now 3.1 days. Maybe before it was 3.5 days or so. Also, the country hosting the most phishing websites remain the US, which are the targets of phishers, as you may can imagine, financial institutions. But it is reduced now. In fact, also government websites were attacked during the last months. So financial services just... thank you very much. So I'm not Michael Jackson anymore. Financial services, as I said, continue to be the most targeted industry sector with 92.4%. I can say that the last year it was 96% maybe. So we have a reduction here. On the left, you can see that the top five list of breaches in security. This is taken from the Information Week research and Accenture of the last year, where we can see that viruses are the most kind of breach. And this is true for both China and US, maybe more for China, as you can see. Worms are the second time type of attack, and phishing the third one for the US and also Europe. But in China, for example, web scripting language violations is the third type of attack. During the last years, we had also an improving of the quality of the attacks of phishers. In fact, for example, as I said, most of the government websites were hacked or violated to host phishing pages. What can we say about this? Well, most importantly, from Symantec, Nick Sullivan said, is that hosting a phishing website on an actual government URL gives the phishing site a sense of authenticity that's hard to beat. This is the real reason. Also, maybe the reliability and the performance of the website is higher too, to support the high volume of traffic generated by phishers. In this slide, I just tried to give a taxonomy of phishing attacks. Phishing can be classified to their nature in email, instant messaging-based attacks, phone mail attacks, physical mail, exploit-based attacks. Also, email and instant messaging can be divided, as you can imagine. In email, instant messaging like MSN, ICQ, IRC, and so on. So, a first description. In email, just phishers send spoofed emails asking to victims to update usually their password or other sensitive information. In instant messaging attacks, instead, just people try to steal your information. For example, I suppose that someone of you has received some message from a beautiful Russian girl asking you to be host in your country or to marry, but they need money because they cannot come, they need the passport, the money for the passport, and so on. So these are the kind of phishing attacks in instant messaging. And also I can say that, for example, Microsoft, if you use MSN, just send an alert telling you don't give your credit card number during a conversation. This is because usually a lot of people does it, so don't think that we are talking about something strange, something not trustable from a technical point of view. The most common kind of attacks are not technical. So other kind of attacks are classic social engineering techniques used by phishers, such as calling the victim on the phone or just writing emails. The other kind of attacks is really less common, and this is by Gartner, and we just can see that they try to exploit vulnerabilities in the browser, so from a server side point of view, to install dialers. This is typical, for example, this was typical, for example, in the last 2 years. Also, usually an attacker can install not only a dialer, but also some kind of Trojan to steal your sensitive information. I tried here to just represent the steps of a phishing attack. So just to recap, in a typical attack, just the phisher sends a large number of emails to random internet users. For example, I receive a lot of phishing emails from Russian, and I don't know this language, Cyrillic, for example, but I receive a lot of also phishing attacks from Russian or China people now. The email usually uses, if you can decrypt it, to update his personal information of the victim. This is a condition usually to avoid losing access to your financial institution, for example, online bank account. And clicking on the link provided in the email, usually you are redirected to a bogus website that is a copy of the original website, where you just can't distinguish, looking at the web page, the original web page from the phishing web page. If you base your idea, I mean, on the look and feel of the web page. So, as I say, the phishing web page is structured as a clone of the original website. What happened? Sorry. I didn't take the coffee, I'm sorry. So, here we can see the process. Just the phisher sends a lot of email to victims, usually random. Email urges the victim to update her data via web, and the victim changes her data. After this process, we have the fraud process that can be distinguished from the attack process. So, we have two kinds of processes. The first one is the attack process. The second one is just the fraud process, where the victim, the attacker just takes the money from the victim. To confuse the victim, phishers are also devising new tricks. For example, just they embed hyperlinks from the original website. Why? Because they say just, we don't want to raise suspicions in the victim, so why don't we embed real hyperlinks from the original website? So the main, mainly yourself in the original website. Website can be also obfuscated or just they try to not raise suspicions, trying to put the URL as the original one. Some techniques are IDN spoofing, just to render in the browser URLs like the real one. Also, just they can install malwares, as I said, but we don't treat the problem after that a penetration was successful. I mean, we can't protect user from our point of view after a penetration. Just we suppose that users were not users' security was not violated. So, for example, malwares are installed using browser helper objects that are dynamic libraries from Microsoft Internet Explorer to extend the browser. But they can be also exploited by phishers to install malwares. Also, another technique is just to change the host file from the local machine in order to redirect your connection to another IP. The IP, in this case, is just the IP of the bogus website. Instead, what happens is that when you type the real host in the browser, you are not surfing in the real website, but in the bogus one. Which are the techniques developed during the last years? We can distinguish them in two main techniques, server-based one and client-based. In server-based techniques, we find brand monitoring, behavior detection, security events. These kind of techniques are usually provided by external providers, such as VeriSign and so on, or RSA, XRSA, EMC squared. Client-based solution instead remain independent mainly, and here we can find the email analysis or blacklist, information flow techniques, and similarity of layouts. That is the last kind of solution. The focus of our presentation is just on blacklist, information flow, and similarity of layouts. Similarity of layouts is just really our contribute. I mean that we wrote an article with the Technical University of Vienna about this kind of solutions. So we implemented this kind of solution. Server-based techniques are implemented, as I said, by service provider, so e-commerce stores, financial institutions, and so on. Brand monitoring, what happens? Just we pay someone to crawl online websites to look for our brand. I mean, who is using my brand and is not authorized to? Behavior detection, I'm doing scouting now about this kind of solution just now. Here, we just want to find something anomalous in the behavior of the users. This can be from the external point of view. I mean, just attackers from the outside of our company or from inside, so the employee fraud. Security event monitoring is very similar, just we correlate events coming from different sources to try to understand if an attack or a fraud is just happening. So another kind of solution is strong authentication. maybe you know it, just we use more than one factor to identify our users. So you can use something you know, for example, your password, something you have, and you can take a security token. You can find it from, for example, EMC squared. Or something you are, your blood, and I don't want to know. New authentication techniques are, however, coming out during the last months. For example, new techniques just are using an image during the registration process. So we show you a girl during your registration process. If you log and you don't find that girl, maybe you are not in the real website, but only you know that kind of girl, I hope. Other kind of authentication techniques can be used, to such as functions. They are functions that only you can know. I mean, they can send you, for example, tables where they show you, the provider show you some numbers, and only you have the table, the mapping table, to answer correctly to your provider. So in this case, what happens is that even if they steal your password, let's say so, they can't reproduce it to steal money. Other solutions, as I said, you are client-based solutions. Microphone is like 2 kilos. email analysis, they work usually for spam, for example. So we are talking about bias and filters, and they work also with phishing, usually. Blacklists, instead, as you all know, are just a set of collected URLs identified as malicious. So when you connect to this kind of host that is inside of the blacklist, someone alerts you that this is not safe. Information flow solution, instead, were also created, let's say so, realized by the Technical University of Vienna, and the prototype is called Antifish. And you can find the publication in the Journal of Oxford. Our solution is an extension, because we did it together, of this kind of solution. In fact, similarity of layouts, just starting from the information flow solution that we will see later, we try to detect if you are surfing on a phishing web page, just comparing the similarity of the layouts of the web pages, so the original one that is stored locally and the phishing one. But I will show you better it later, let's say. So, for example, here we can find our solutions that I said you, so the client-side solution and the server-side solution mapped in a more general security strategy plan, where we can see the incident management process, then the problem management triggering the change management. So what happens is that, for example, the client-side solution just can prevent and detect phishing from the attack point of view. The server-side solution is more is bigger, let's say, and in fact just can protect both the attack and the fraud process, from both the attack and the fraud process in general, but you pay usually. So which are the trends on client-based market solutions? For example, in the last months, the major browser, which are obviously Internet Explorer and Mozilla Firefox, have integrated specific, as you know, anti-phishing solutions. In October 2006, Microsoft commissioned a report on various anti-phishing solutions. Here, the testers obviously found that Microsoft is the best solution. Obviously, I'm paying. So they tested also the Google Toolbar for Firefox, Netcraft Toolbar, and so on. After, Mozilla Foundation also commissioned a study about this. And the report says that the best solution is the Mozilla one. So It seems evident that we cannot trust both the commissioned reports. And we just started an independent evaluation with the security lab. And over a period of 3 weeks, we're collecting like 10,000 URLs to benchmark both Microsoft and Mozilla solution. Mozilla usually pings Google's blacklist. So in this slide, we can see the results from the from a blacklist point of view. So the Google and the Microsoft solutions blacklist. Here we can see that Google performs better from is more effective. I mean, because the total blacklists are the coverage. I mean, is the 90% of the phishing websites, while for Microsoft we find the 68%. This is the last year, I think, so 8 months maybe ago. But Microsoft is more efficient. In fact, to insert a not initially included URL inside the blacklist, Google takes like 9.3 hours, while Microsoft 6 hours, 6.4. Another interesting analysis that we can do is about static page analysis. I mean, did you ever notice that sometimes Internet Explorer, if you use it, I don't know, says for some reason that the page is not safe? So we were wondering how they realize it. In the process, just we selected so a set of properties, 18 properties extracted mainly from the HTML source code of the web page. So we collected obviously a set of pages to be analyzed and correlated. We extracted a classification model based on the properties that we fixed. For example, a property is the number of forms, the number of input fields, and so on. The algorithm used was the C.4, and we used the implementation by Veka called J48. Then, after extracting this model, we can just say if a page is a phishing web page or not. But you will say now, how you can do it? Well, I will show you how it works in a demo, if it works. So the decision tree looks like the one on the left. I mean, we have a tree where we can assign a weight for every link. So we can say if you have a number of suspicious URL measured than X, then go to then check the number of text field and so on. So the qualifier extracted empirically is quite successful in identifying this kind of pages, so the phishing pages. In fact, we just were able to detect more than the 80% of phishing web pages. So how it works, just to... any one of you used Veka before? You? Okay. So you know more or less how it works. I will show you. Okay, for example, I will show you an easier example. Data, okay. I suppose that, for example, there was one about flowers, maybe iris, okay, this one. I suppose that here we are trying to distinguish the type of flowers basing our analysis on the properties of the flowers, for example, the petal width and so on. So if we collect this information for a set of flowers that we know, so we collect a set of roses, we collect a set of I don't know, other kind of flowers. Sorry about my ignorance about flowers. You can just say that measure your properties. So you can say the petal length is X and so on. So after you collect all this information, you can try to extract a tree to infer about classificator. You use the classificator and you choose the J48 as algorithm, and you can extract the tree. And I will show you the tree. Here you can see that you have the model. So let's say that you don't know anything about a kind of flower, but you can measure the properties. So how can you say if it is a rose, if it is something else, using your decision tree? Is it clear? If you have question, no problem. I will try to answer. The concept is very easy. Just you want to know, starting from a known class of experiments, if you want to extract a decision tree to infer something about you don't know. So, basing on our experience, I want to extract a model, and using this model, I want to see if another example that I take from the outside can be classified using my model. So this is what we did. Now, before talking about this, I wanted to, to show you also other kind of client-based solutions in the literature. For example, PWD hash, this one, maybe you know, anyone knows, it just uses a function to convert your password runtime using an hash algorithm, just concatenating your password with the host of the website where you are. What I mean is just let's suppose I'm connecting to a phishing website that has as host Angelo. What I do is just using a function that is integrated into the browser, so you don't see it. This function is an hash function. Just concatenates your password, that can be Mary, with the host where you are connecting to, so Angelo. When you apply this kind of function, you obtain X. This solution, obviously, is different when Angelo, I mean the host field, changes. So even if they steal your password, that is the hash of your password, and not your password, your real password, and they try to redirect you to a fake host, you are safe because this part of the input is different. So when you connect to another website using your password, Mary, you will get your host here, for example, Hipson, and you will get another answer. So you are safe. This is by Stanford, I suppose. So we are safe when just our, if we have a malware or someone is spying the connection and so on, they just won't get the real password. So we were talking about information flow solution. Information flow solution were realized by the Technical University of Vienna. How it works? Antifish, that is an instance of this kind of solution, is a browser plugin. So for Mozilla, you can realize it just as an XPI extension. After Antifish installed, just the browser requests for a master password to access to this kind of functionality to encrypt and decrypt the information stored locally. And after that, the user enters sensitive information, such as the password, it is stored locally, encrypted, and the Antifish menu is used to scan the page and capture and store the information associated with the domain. However, it will be clear here. This is the execution flow of Antifish, where we can see that when the user presses key or passes text into form field, just the information is checked if it is inside already in the watch list. I mean, the watch list is just our database stored locally. If it is in the watch list and if it is not in the watch list, just we store it, because we consider safe the 0-day example. If it is not, instead, we just check the domain. If the domain corresponds, we are safe, because we are connecting to the real website. If it doesn't, instead, we generate an alert. This is stupid, maybe, but it works. I mean, as I said to you, usually phishing websites are realized on different, on bogus websites, so bogus domains, that are different from the original one, but you cannot detect it from a human point of view, usually. I mean, if you're not an expert. Or maybe if you are in a hurry, I don't know. So when the victim inserts the username and password to an untrusted website, just an alert is raised, and this is the example. So alert, you are stupid, so. A new client-side solution instead is based on the layout similarity of the layouts of the web pages, as I said to you. The first example of this solution is by some Chinese or Japanese guy, I don't know. It is called Wenin. However, the solution is not described really, because it was accepted as a short paper by lecture notes in computer science, maybe, or IEEE. So we just analyzed it to understand the limitations, because we wanted to do something like that. So the web page is decomposed into silent blocks according to visual cues. I will show you better it after. The visual similarity between two pages is measured in some way. And if a web page just is considered a phishing web page, then we have an alert. How it works? Okay, here, the block level similarity, we have three layers mainly. The block level similarity, the layout level similarity, and the overall style similarity. The block level similarity is computed as the weighted average of the visual similarity of all pairs of matched blocks. It means that we try to match all the tags in the HTML page. The other layer is the layout level similarity, defined as the layout similarity of two web pages, computed as the ratio of the weighted number of matched blocks to the total number of blocks in the true web page. And the overall style similarity instead focuses on the visual style of the web page. For example, They consider the font family use, the background color, and the text alignment, and so on. So they just collect a set of properties from the web pages, trying to see if the web page looks like the original one. Now, this is our solution instead. That is, as I said, an extension of Antifish, the information flow-based one. Here, you can see in this, we added another layer here, because this one is exactly the same of the information flow one. So after that, we check the domain, if the domain corresponds. We add another layer. We say, okay, the domain is different. What happens? For example, the user is using the same password in different domains. So I'm using Angelo in Hotmail and in Yahoo. So the domain is different, but I'm not in a phishing web page. In this case, I just raised an alert. Here we added another layer where we say, just let's check if the layout of the web page that we are surfing is similar to the layout of the web page stored locally. So if the layout is major than a threshold, just we raise an alert. Instead, we are on different websites. Okay, I explain you. How do we do it now? We base our analysis on the DOM tree of the web page. I mean, just we extract the DOM tree from the HTML source code of the web page. The DOM tree appears like this one. So the tags are just represented as a tree. And after we have the DOM tree representation, we can extract or compute the similarity of the layouts of the web pages just comparing the trees. So our comparison is based on the similarity of the trees. So we reduce the problem of computing the layout similarity of the web pages to the problem of establishing if two trees are isomorphic. In this case, for example, we can say that these tags are equal. So even if we have a little penalty here we have a penalty because we have two children instead on the left on the original DOM tree we don't have. However, more or less the web pages are similar. So the implementation process. Just we implemented it as a JavaScript plugin for Mozilla that invokes a JavaScript software to compute the layout similarity. This is because it's not so easy to implement an isomorphic algorithm. I mean, an algorithm to compare, to see if two trees are isomorphic so easily in JavaScript to be efficient. So the JavaScript plugin just extracts the DOM tree representation of each stored web page and the browsing one. Then the JavaScript plugin writes the result into two text files and invokes the JavaScript software. Then we compared the similarity of the web pages using our software, trying to minimize the penalty and maximizing the coverage. Then we generate a report for the user. So after that the result is ready, the JavaScript just will raise an alert or not. So we tested it over 200 websites, proving that it is possible to do this. But I suggest that this kind of solution should be implemented inside the browser itself. Because it's not computationally, it's not a stupid problem. Even if it is not, it is a polynomial problem, but it's not easy. So you can see that using as a threshold 0.5, for example, we have no false positive, we have no false negative results, so we can use it, and some false positive. If you are in test, or whatever, the publication of this is on the IEEE archive, or I can give you. So, as every security solution, Domantifish is not perfect, obviously, and we can find some limitations. First of all, it could be possible for attackers to use a combination of images, for example, to imitate, to create a spoofed web page that is really different in the structure, because the DOM tree is really different. We just use images. But the look and feel of the website is the same. So what can we do? One possibility is just to take a more conservative approach and to tag web pages as suspicious if they contain a large number of images. Another possibility instead is just DOM obfuscation when we try to change the DOM tree, so the internal representation, conserving the layout. Also, in this case, our approach raises, however, the difficulty bar for creating phishing pages. Furthermore, just one can also take a more conservative approach, reducing the phishing alert threshold, as I said to you. I wanted to show you how it works, the anti-phish. As example, I saved a web page from where is it? From PayPal. So here you have a copy of the PayPal web page that can be exactly the phishing web page, you know. And let's suppose that previously you really logged into PayPal with your account. So this is a phishing web page that looks like the original one. How the plugin works? Okay, we load Mozilla. And here, you can see the menu here. And we can see the domain captured, for example, PayPal. So let's try to surf on the phishing web page that is just the one located locally, stored locally. So here. I don't remember the name I gave of the password. Maybe Angelo. I don't know, let's try. It's not Angelo. I should surf online to show you this stuff. Is it possible to go online? I don't know. Anyone is sleeping? Because I don't remember the password I gave. Okay, let's try. So, Bluetooth. Let's try to surf and to on PayPal. First of all, we clean the stored information. Because I don't remember the password. Okay. So, come on. It doesn't work. The connection. Some peep boy is trying to hack me. Okay, maybe now. In the meanwhile, I just go on in the presentation, so we wait, it connects to. So, conclusions. As every solution, this kind of solution is not perfect. I mean, it just should be integrated into other kind of solution. And in particular, as I said to you, we just have to adopt server-based solutions applied on servers and also client-based solution locally. It is important also to have a training of our employees, if you are in a company, in order to avoid the possibility to make big mistakes locally. So let's see if we loaded the page, but I don't think so. The connection doesn't work. Why are you laughing? You have questions in the meanwhile? We wait. It's because I used it in the Black Hat and I forgot it, the password, so... Okay. I think you are downloading films like, I don't know. Let's try to put, for example, Angelo as password, no? And now we want to store it. So capture sensitive information. Okay, now we try to surf the phishing web page that is the one stored locally. So if they didn't change the layout, we should get an alert. So as you type Angelo, the software starts executing. So it says, is it similar? Yeah, it is. And why? Because the domain of the local stored web page is obviously different. You find there file, //, and so on. Instead, we stored the information using the domain, the real domain, that is paypal.com. So even if you didn't believe it, it worked. So you are redirecting to the phishing alert page and your information is safe because we stopped sending information. So, I don't know. I can suggest you a couple of articles. You can find this paper online for free. The first one. The other one maybe, also the second is for free. The third two. The other one, I think you should pay an IEEE membership. So, if you have some questions, we have 5 minutes, I think. No, just the domain. Just the domain, not the IP address. We store just the domain, so the host. We store, actually, at the moment, we store the domain, the password, and the DOM tree of the web page to compare the web pages. I don't know if it is, I mean, you can do it also using the IP address, but I don't think it's really different. From an attack point of view, to change the host or the IP address. I don't know. Mm-hmm. you mean financial institutions save IP addresses at the moment in the client-based solution? But I don't know client-based solutions from the financial institutions. I mean, they just use third-party solutions like brand monitoring, behavior detection, and so on. But they don't adopt any client-based solution. I mean, you know any bank that suggests you to adopt some client-based solution for your browser? In fact, I don't know. They could do it. I mean, they can if they want. Virtual keyboards. You mean a client, they install their own client program. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, different than browsers. Because, I understand. In fact, probably they develop some this kind of solutions, but I don't know any plugin for your browser. I mean, normal browser. One of the prohibitions back.
One of the Polish banks has a solution for business which uses a plugin and written in JavaScript which is doing some VPN connection. And based on this, the web page is generated through encrypted tunnels. So there are some solutions on the client side, but it's only for business companies. It's not for simple customers.
Yeah. But the VPN approaches are different from these ones. Are different. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think they take care of the server side too. Maybe you don't know. I mean, it's transparent to users, no? But as I know, also in Poland, all of the banks use server-based solutions. Also for the employee frauds, not only external frauds. So, any other question?
Unfortunately, I missed part of this, so tell me if this is not the right question for this, but this solution looks really good, but the problem that I could see, or the question I guess I will have, is if I expect every user in my whole company to just know to click this, I mean, how do you expect the users?
I understand. Okay, I use the menu to store the information because I wanted to do. But in this solution, when you do login and the login is successful, the information is automatically stored. I just used it because it's faster, because I put a fake password on PayPal, so it gave me an unsuccessful login, and I didn't want to put now the password here. So, but the plugin just stores locally, automatically, when you login in a form.
Okay, so when I want to deploy this in my company and I have 200 or 300 people, well, how should I do this? Because I need to train them to use this plugin correctly, or?
As you see the solution, there is no train needed, because when you store locally the information, mm-hmm. it's all automatic. I mean, you have to do nothing. So I don't think you need a train. It's just the same question I can say. To install Internet Explorer, you need a train. I think that usually people can use Internet Explorer. So just the plugin, I used the menu because it was faster now to store the information. But it is anything is automatic, and you don't need any train. Okay. Also, the solution is free.
Okay.
Keep in your mind, because We didn't develop it to sell it. Just it was an academical research, so we developed the solution and it is free.
Okay.
So this is maybe another answer to your question: why it's free?
Okay.
First of all, why you don't need a train really? So.
Okay. Thanks for the tool.
Thank you. But my presentation, however, I want to be honest, wasn't to invite you to use our solution because it's just an overview of the problem and the research that were done in this field. This was the aim of the presentation. So really, I didn't want to invite you to use our solution or PWD hash, for example, is another solution, really good from Stanford. So it's another kind of solution in the market.
A simple question: how does this plugin would behave if the original website would change? Yeah.
Well, this is a good question. If the web page changes, you get an alert. Because if the web page only changes, you don't get an alert because the domain is the same. I show you. Here, first of all, you check the domain. If the domain corresponds, and this is the case, we don't check even similarity. We check it if the domain is different. So if your layout changes, also the domain changes, so we check the layout similarity. So you are safe. Any other question?
So if I understand correctly, if I have bad luck and somebody did the DNS cache poisoning, okay, and in the meantime I logged into phished website, and the plugin is stored wrong information. So the hash, but wrong from the phished side. You understand? Somebody did an attack. So the DNS is serving the malicious site, okay? And in the meantime, I log into this site. The plugin stores the information, and then before and exactly. So if I then. After the DNS are correct, I want to connect to original site, correct site, I get another, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
The first time you log into the website, it should be the real one. Or we can do nothing, we can compare nothing. So,
the other methods. If I have a web proxy between me and the spoof site, the original site, but I'm redirected to the spoof site, and the DNS-based address is the same. Domain does not differ, but only the website. Different. The layout. The plugin detects this, works. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The layout is different, it works. If the layout is the same, you can't. So, if you don't have any question, I will leave. Okay. No other question? Okay, thank you very much.